everyone. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne from Yachts Mermaids, and today I have former Chief Stew Stace, who is now a solopreneur, and she's here to talk about the big elephant in the room that we really don't talk often about, which is women's rights, reproductive health on board, and what the fuck do we do when we leave yachting? Especially if you become a mom. And that's the reason why you leave the industry. So welcome, Stace. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So let's start with you sharing your story. Tell us about, you know, your pregnancy on board. Let's hear that out. Let's see how that went out for you.
Sure. First, I'm from Zimbabwe. I did yachting for about, it was 8 years. And my now husband was on the yacht with me, and obviously that's where we met, and fell pregnant. And thankfully, we had been in the boat for about 4 or 5 years at this point. The captain looked after me during my pregnancy as much as he could, and as much as the yacht would pay for, do you know what I mean? Which was nothing. And I was allowed to stay on till I was about 7.5 months pregnant, because it was winter time. So like my first trimester during the season, I would literally cry. I was so tired. Like I just remember it was just exhaustion on a whole another level. I've seen a lot of people maybe think that being pregnant working during the season is not necessarily safe. I never felt that way. I never felt that I need to leave. I never felt I had to leave because I was pregnant. Maybe I was in denial. I don't know. But yeah, that was great. So obviously going into the winter season, I think we were in Tarragona in Spain, so it was lovely. Probably the hardest part, obviously being a new mum, everything's so scary anyways, but like having to go to a doctor in Italy, a doctor in Monaco, a doctor in Spain, and no one spoke English. And it was during the like tail end of COVID, so there was masks and my husband isn't allowed in the room. It was just like all those little things that I guess maybe you could say take some of the specialness away, but not really. When we told the captain, he was so excited for us. He met his wife on the boat and has 2 kids. The crew were extremely happy for us. But in terms of, I always find this funny because the boat's medical aid will pay for numerous drunk accidents on the boat, but you fall pregnant and you don't matter. And each doctor's appointment was like €250. That all adds up when you know you're about to leave the industry. Like
The insurance that you had on board did not cover any pregnancy-related matters.
No, so they would cover when you are like 36 weeks, which in theory you would be where you're having your baby because you can't fly. So if there's an emergency from 36 weeks on, they would, I don't know if they would cover it fully, but I don't know.
So no prenatal, basically.
No prenatal. And that's why I always say it's so funny because my one friend who's a chief steward or the person on a boat during COVID, their medical insurance, like monthly premiums went up because there were so many drunken emergency, like having to go to the doctor, someone broke a foot or wrist or this or that. But when it comes to us women needing like the prenatal care, it's doesn't exist. And I think that was, it's just like another stab in the butt of being a girl, of not having, like you always think your boat medical will cover you for everything. But when it comes like this,
when you were there, for 4 or 5 years on board, which is outstanding. So that creates like you're loyal. You have been loyal to the vessel. Mm-hmm. You've been loyal to the program, to the owners, and you're reliable and responsible. That's why they have kept you. So you would think that there's some sort of empathy beyond the emotional empathy and say, hey, sadly, we have never had these issues. So we never thought about adding this to our insurance. But hey, we're going to cover your prenatal care. Was that ever a discussion or a possibility? Did you ever ask for it?
I remember speaking to my captain about it because his wife was also first pregnancy on the boat. And he said, I remember there was nothing offered to his wife. And then he said, I'm going to check. And then that's when the whole 36, they'll cover you from 36 weeks if there's an emergency. And you mentioned like loyalty. And this made me feel like the smallest piece of dust was that the owner couldn't even congratulate us. And we had been so loyal. And you know, when they dangle that carrot and all these things, and it just shows that you're so replaceable and they butter you up. But we were so hurt that we had formed such amazing relationships with our owners and we didn't even get a congratulations or welcome. I got that from Charter, guess. They sent presents.
Wow.
They contacted us and they sent presents to us and it was beautiful. And they made like my last Charter such a great send off, being pregnant, leaving the industry. And our boss couldn't even do that. You're a bittersweet. You just always put yourself first.
Hopefully the captain of that vessel with this kind of goes back and figures out a different policy for the vessel the second time, not the first one. You would think after the first one, he would have done that, but didn't. So what would you like to have had gone different if you could do it all over again? If you knew what you know now, what would you have done different before joining a vessel?
In terms of
reproductive health, women's rights. Yeah.
I think if I was definitely in a couple, getting a couple's position, and you're at that time, we all know there's like an expiry date for women on a yacht, right? And I always said the only reason I would leave yachting is to fall pregnant. So had I known, I would question it probably on interviews, but at the same time, you might feel like if I'm asking them about question, like pregnancy questions in my contract, they're not going to hire me. So it's like a double-edged sword. Oh, it's our right to ask these questions, but at the same time, they'll probably think she wants to get pregnant. Let's hire the other young 20-year-old.
And I do agree with you. That's a challenge a lot of people, and not a challenge, but something that they struggle with when talking about certain things on an interview. But I think this is where like self-responsibility comes in and really understanding that the way you word something out is how it's going to come across, right? If I go to an interview and I say, hey, listen, I'm a woman and I have different needs and I know that I'm not looking to get pregnant, but it's a potential thing that could happen, whether I plan for it or not. A lot of people get pregnant having injections and contraceptive pills and doing all the things to not get pregnant. And then they do get pregnant because a lot of people think, oh, she wanted it or they didn't take care of it. It's actually a lot of people do the thing to help you not get pregnant. And then you do end up getting pregnant. I think coming from that place of, hey, I know this is not an easy conversation to have, but I am a woman and I have questions about what would happen if I get pregnant. What would happen if I want to do an abortion and I'm on board? What's the procedure on board? Was the insurance coverage? And I think that if we bring, because this is how we normalize a conversation, talking about it and not just talking about it, how we're doing, because this is amazing, but actually on the industry, like when we go to the interviews and just normalizing the conversation. And I think that if the captain or whoever is hiring the person basically doesn't hire you potentially for those questions, blessing in this guy, you don't want to work for those.
Yeah.
People. They're not going to be supportive and they don't actually care about human rights. So I think a lot of people, by opening the conversation, what they could be potentially doing is opening a train of thought that was never there for a lot of people. Oh my God, you know what? I never thought of that because I never had that issue. So let me look into it. Let me see what we offer now and what we could potentially offer in the future. And then you can make a conscious decision of, okay, I'm entering this boat. This is the procedure. These are the rights that I have. Take it or leave it. And then
get the conversation rolling, won't it? And even if you don't join the boat, it might be something that they feel that they need to know the answers to. So the way you've worded it is perfect. I did that spot on.
Now, what changes would you like to see in the industry related to all this? Like, how do you feel that all this can be more supportive in the process of being pregnant on board, or even before getting pregnant, right? Like just having that space for us to not feel like we're doing something wrong if we are bringing life to the world, which is how we all got here anyway. We're basically, in the industry, what I have found is that we have made taboo what's normal and we have normalized what's not, which is obviously
backwards. It's funny because let's talk about it. There is so much sex that happens on board. So much sex, right? So much. So it is, it, it's weird that it's not spoken about. I, just before the season started, I had a new group of girls joined, and I was like, when did you last have a, oh my God, I can't think of the word. Something a woman should go for every year.
Or whatever it's called in English.
Yes, a pap smear. So I went to the captain and I said, as girls, and I was like, and also it's something so simple that a woman, we need it every year. It should, it's really good to go for your pap smear or get checked out. And I just walked into the bridge and I just said, hi, captain, will the medical cover for pap smears? And he just looked at me. I think he was a bit shocked that I asked it. And we got it. We did get it. The agents booked us our appointments. It's just a matter of making stuff like that, I think, also a normal thing for us to do. We've got boat medical, and they always make it sound like you don't need another type of medical for when you go home. So then, yeah. Therefore, these are things that we should have done. I definitely think also maternity pay. Everyone was so shocked when I was like, no, we didn't get it. Literally, I didn't get 1 cent from anything from the boat. And I think, especially if you've worked for the boat for so long, maybe they can, half a month's salary for the year you've worked on the boat as maternity pay or something like that. But it's such a scary thing. One,
being, do you ask for a severance package?
Not in. So the tough thing was the boat was selling. And when a boat sells, the crew normally get like the owner was fighting against that to pay us all off. And when most of us had worked for him for 4 or 5 years. So that just didn't even seem like an option. Considering, maybe it's more, I can't even remember if I asked, if I'm honest. But maybe I thought in the time, I'm not getting my medical paid. Why would I get a maternity? It's more like how the sale was going with the owner and everything. And I think I was at a point where I was like, you can't even thank us or congratulate us or anything. You just get really bittersweet and you still, I don't know.
Yeah. No, and I like hearing your story because a lot of people tend to think, oh, why would we give this to somebody that was there for 2-3 months or whatever? But like most of the people that I've talked to that have fallen pregnant are solid crew members that have been reliable, responsible, loyal. And it's just, this is not a 2-3 month gig. This was, you were there. You were an employee for a long period of time. So it just, and if it would have been in land, you would have had certain rights that are not. Yeah. Question is a given because it's we have already fight for it. And it's crazy just because it moves into sea, those just go away. But with that being said, they don't entirely go away. And this is why one of the biggest reasons why I like to talk about this is to educate other people. And depending, I want everybody to understand that seafarer rights, yes, it's true. It's challenging. It's complicated. It's great. Sometimes non-existence. The yachting industry can be a little bit of a, like a wild west, but concerning women's reproductive health, there are center rights in place, specifically for those who are under UK flag vessels or a red ensign group. Not entirely all that red ensign group or like Isle of Man is also under this. They have taken on the UK rights. So basically for the UK vessels, everything that's in land pretty much converts into sea for the most part. So you get maternity leave. They cannot fire you. You can leave and come back if you want to. There's like a bunch of other things. But concerning other flag space, so depending on your citizenship, depending on where the boat is based and what flag state is the vessel, all that has to do. Because if you have a flag state, let's say it's in Malta, but you are based in France, jurisdiction is French. So you get French laws. For pregnancy. And a lot of people don't know these things. This is why it's so important to educate ourselves and ask questions before we enter the boat, obviously, because we always have the questions after shit happens. And I get it. That's normal. But we also need to start normalizing asking before things get to that point. So, for example, go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure we were Cayman Islands. And I remember looking through what you can get on a Cayman flagged vessel. And it was more towards like cruise ships or massive boats where they would expect the woman to go back. And that's when you would get maternity pay, if I can remember 100%. But it was more based on like cruise ships, those bigger vessels. So
Yes.
Even though we're a Cayman boat, there was nothing about yachting and pregnancy and maternity.
This is how it's important to pick up the phone and say, hey, Cayman, this is what's happening. How do you guys support the situation? What are the rights that you guys have implemented for this type of situation? Because we need to start asking questions. We need to start bringing the conversation in the forefront to all the people that supposedly are responsible for this type of things, right? Because at the end of the day, the owner is responsible, right, for the safety of their crew and health-wise as well. But then they're obviously measuring that with whatever the facts of conveniences and this and that. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of everything. But this is why self-responsibility comes into place. And people like you, we can learn this stuff of, hey, this is how it went down for me. Do it differently for you so you don't have the same experience. Also, there's a union called ITF. It's directed for merchant, but they also can support yachties. And they have an agreement with certain flags of convenience that actually, if they are under that agreement, you can say to them, hey, your flag state has an agreement with ITF. I want my pregnancy clause in there. And they have to do it. So, for example, Malta, Bahamas, Panama have ITF agreements. And these are things people don't know about, right? Like, I didn't know about. Yeah. Like, I had to educate myself around this. And it took me a while to start getting all this information. So, joining someone like Nautilus, because they're like a union that does cater to yachties, is important because if you have questions, they could potentially answer those questions, right? The thing with Nautilus is that if you join after something happened, they can really support you in that sense. So you have to join before, and I'll put the link below for whoever wants to join. And it's not that expensive. And at the end of the day, they're not perfect. I'm not going to lie. They're not perfect. They have a lot to improve on, but it's a support system that is better than not having any. So that's from here. I want to shift the conversation a little bit about what happened after you left the boat, because you were on boats for 8 years. So that's a good career length. And I was telling somebody today, I was like, I was on boats for over 16 years. And it was like a marriage. Like, it was a marriage. The yachting industry. And I had to grieve it. It was almost like I was divorcing it. And like, it was this whole inner journey for me. So I'm wondering, you're leaving the industry, not like I did. Like, I was like, okay, this is a choice. I want to do something else. But it was like, okay, this happened. Obviously, I want to continue doing my motherhood, because I'm not going to say that you cannot come back. You can. I've seen it happen. But that wasn't your story. So once you get to the other side and you go through the pregnancy and you have your baby, what was happening to you? What was your pain points? What were you struggling with career-wise? Was that even something that you struggled with?
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, I was Zimbabwean. I'm Zimbabwean. And my husband is British. And he owned a house in England. So we thought he's going to be based around the Med. It'll be easier for us to be in England.
He's English. He's English. He has lost. He's English. You're married to him. You guys were in the best position.
I know.
In one of, compared to other people, right? So like I'm saying, and this is really important. Whoever who's listening, if you're British, you have laws and rights that are supportive to you at sea. So please use them.
That's so funny because I even have a British passport.
Oh my gosh.
Well, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
No, this is great because now we can really expose this Okay, so you're in England.
I'm now moving to a country I've never lived with. I'm now doing long distance and I'm now become a mum. And I have no friends and no family. Yeah, I don't think anything else could have changed my body, everything. So the first time my husband and I ever did
metamorphosis, right? Is that the word?
So thankfully, we moved into a house. We did the renovations. We did everything. And I was about 8 months pregnant, I think, when we moved to the UK. And then Guy left for a month and literally came back a couple of days before the baby was born. And it's so lonely. When you used to a crew mess full of people and banter and a vibe and laughter and the food, oh God, you when I was on a boat, all I thought I would want to do is cook food. I hate cooking. I want someone to cook my food. Honestly, enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was lonely in other ways, but I think that also goes with moving to a new country and not having any friends or family around. The good thing about England is they cater a lot for mums because there's so many baby classes. So it was easy to make friends. And one thing I did do was fight for like statutory maternity pay in the UK. Mm-hmm. And obviously in terms of a yachting salary, it's minimal. But I thought I'm moving to a country that offers this. I'm going to fight for it. And it took a long time to get it. But basically I got about, I think it was like £600 a month for 9 months. That's what they give to just about every single woman if they literally go on mat leave from their job. And you have
I'm glad that you did that because that's part of the rights. Yeah. So at least you did that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was like, you have to go down the whole merchant vessel seafarer's route. It's not just, it's a lot of paperwork. And especially if you haven't paid your, I'm not going to go too much into it, but if you haven't paid your, that monthly thing you pay in England for like your NHS and everything like that.
Yeah.
I had to go and back pay a lot of it, but it, in comparison to the £600 I was going to get a month, it wasn't, it was worth doing it. And being Zimbabwean or South African or African and having free medical care was just mind blowing. So obviously everything is free in England, which is not definitely not what I'm used to. So obviously that counter the fees we paid in and then not having to pay for the birth. But the one injection I had to have in Spain, for example, was 550 euros and in England was free. You know what I mean? So it's worth, even I could have flown to England to have the injection. So it's just things like that that you should do your homework on and see what, wherever you are going to have the baby, what they offer. Because I was blown away, and I know a lot of people complain about the English NHS and stuff, but when you've never had it before and you've never had free medical, it's amazing. And it was a lovely experience. And I think then when we had our baby, Guy left at 7 weeks when my son was 7 weeks old. And he went for 3 months. So he was on a 2 month off rotation. He still is, but it was just 3 months that first time, I think, to catch up on some of the time. And yeah, I hit rock bottom. I suffered depression. I still am sometimes. I'm on medication at the moment. And I probably will be for the rest of my life. And that's absolutely okay. But yeah, it's a different level of loneliness. Not only leaving yachting. I think yachting makes it a lot harder because you are used to that banter and camaraderie and community and funness to then being all alone with a baby. And I will tell you this for free, the resentment of my husband was so intense at the beginning, especially if he had a drop-off day and like making money and being busy. And here I am sitting at home with no friends, no family, and not knowing what to do with this little child. Cleaned a lot. I used to clean my house all the time. I've dropped now. I'm not as OCD as I was like in my yachting days. But yeah, it's a roller coaster for sure. The most beautiful one. But I don't know. Maybe I would have left yachting a few months earlier to just get used to that home life. Because going from being at home for a month and having a baby and then my husband leaving, it was just so tough. So even if you can stay at your boat for as long as possible, if you're not used to the environment that you are going to, I would probably maybe go there a bit earlier. If that makes sense. Have I gone off topic? Sorry.
No, you're talking. Mm. You're telling your story. That's great. So let's talk about, obviously, you're going through all this pain and all this change. And thankfully, the yachting industry has taught us how to become adaptable and flexible. Yeah. Because if not, it would have been, I'm pretty sure, a lot more difficult. Because you already have that mindset of the unexpected. Yeah. The uncertainty is always there.
The fast pace.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And for a lot of women, I don't know, did I do something? Mm-hmm. The reaction, I was like, what's that? So for a lot of women, they find it difficult career-wise, like, what am I going to do next? Some of us have backgrounds in different careers, so they tend to go back to that. Or some of us have to reinvent the wheel because literally yachting was like our first and only career. How was that for you? How have you been able to reinvent yourself if you have?
I think a lot of people think that being a stay-at-home mum and being a lady who lunches. I used to say, I can't wait to be a lady who lunches before I was pregnant and stuff. And it's really lonely. It's not as fun as you think it's going to be. But it wasn't for me. And I'm very like career driven. I'm ambitious. I don't want to just, and this is no offense to anybody if you do want this. But I think being in yachting, you are just so used to being on the go and having projects and having a team. And it's so exciting and you feel accomplished and fulfilled. And I loved yachting. Like, hands down, it has taken me a very long time to get to this place where I feel I've released it. Maybe not 100%. When my husband goes out now and he's having fun, I'm like, go. There's no resentment. It took a long time to get over that, but it's because I've got my own thing going now. And when we lived in England, so I've just moved back to Zim. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I did a few years in England. And I knew when we came to Zimbabwe for our first holiday for everyone to meet my son, as soon as we got here, I thought, this is where I want to live. We just have to make it happen now, especially with Guy going away. My family's here. It's the outdoors. It's Africa. If you've been to Africa, you know exactly what I mean. So then we went back to England and I was like, Ethan was about 8 months. So I was still very much in like my maternity mat leave type thing. But I was getting to a point now where I was like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because this, I need something to occupy my mind, to challenge me, to fulfill me. Because you almost get a point where you're like, okay, baby's part of my life now. We're in the swing of things. Everything's not brand new. So you're like, okay, now who am I anymore? I've lost my identity. I need to get it back. And I was like, I didn't want to go get a desk job and make $1,500. And we all know what our salaries were like in the yachting industry. So it's really hard to go back to such a small salary. I was a hairdresser before and we made no bloody money on hairdressing. In South Africa, I did that. And I thought, also, when Guy comes home, I don't want to rush off to a job. Like, then we'll never see each other. And then that job will probably only cover the nursery fee. So it just seems like a bit of a pointless circle for me. Thankfully, Guy's salary and, you know, our savings, we're very good at savings with yachting. But it is hard when you see it go lower and we had to buy furniture for the house. There was just so much, do you know what I mean? That all at once and a car, the list goes on. So I started looking online and I went through a few different things. I thought I could make some stuff and sell it on Amazon. And I'm not very tech savvy. So learning some things were just taking quite a long time. And then obviously I was in the algorithm looking online on Instagram and somebody's ad popped up. This mom who works from home, was a single mom of two kids. And I thought, oh shit, this could be what I need because I was getting not desperation, but I think it was really hitting me that I needed to figure out what to do. And because all the other moms that I'd met in England were all starting to go back to work, that everyone kept saying to me, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then I almost felt guilty. And I was like, I don't actually just want to sit at home, but I also don't want to find a desk job. I've never had a desk job. I don't see how, yeah, that's not me. And yeah, so I started an online business. So I loved the girls ad. I went through 2 weeks trial of training. And it is, you know, I feel like mainly in the UK, but I think worldwide, with the way the money like increases have gone, everyone is realizing, stay-at-home mums especially, that they can't survive on one salary. It's just mums are taking the online space by, it's crazy how many mums are working online now. And there's so many different things that you can get involved with. And I get it's really daunting. It was really scary for me. I was sitting there with my husband and I was just like, do we do it? Is this real? Is it a scam? And I was like, I've gone through all these different things. I tried to make frames as like keepsakes, sell them. And then I was like, well, I have to sell about 1 million to make a profit. Making books on Amazon. And he was like, just go for this online business. We are, I don't know, there's a lot of hype at the moment about hydrogen water. I don't know. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. My sister actually was asking me about it.
Oh, really?
So then I should put her in contact with you.
Basically, so we work with High Ticker Products, which are these, this company is a Japanese company. They are actually having their 50th anniversary next week and everyone's going to Japan. And I'm trying my hardest to get there and just going to see if things work out because it'll be an amazing experience to go to Japan. And their like premium top of the range product is a water ionizer. And a lot of people I know haven't heard of it or compare it to a water filter, but it's two separate things. basically, these machines are firebred, so it's an investment. They aren't cheap, but they are water, and they are a medical-grade water machine. They're in hospitals. They are in hopeful cancers around the world. The people are starting to really realize how important water is to us. And I won't go into too much of the scientific side of things. They're finding microplastics in water now. They're finding microplastics in human bodies now from the water we've been drinking. Yep. And it's so scary. And I can get really excited on the top. Not excited, it's not the right way. But people, if you think about the diseases we're having now compared to 100 years ago, it's just, I think people are becoming more awake to how important water we had to keep us alive.
Yeah.
And people are noticing what is wrong with our water. So basically, our water, you could essentially say it's like living water. In our machine, it's got 8 plates, and through electrolysis, it puts hydrogen, molecular hydrogen, into the water, which is like the smallest, tiniest little atom, and basically makes it alive. And through those, the molecular hydrogen, it's basically like antioxidants. So it helps with inflammation and all that sort of thing. So there are so many health benefits. And that's why they're obviously in the hospitals and the hopeful cancer, because this isn't any like medical claims, but it's, everyone's story is so different from drinking the water. It's helped with eczema. It's helped with arthritis. There's so many athletes drinking it because it helps them. What's the word? Helps them.
Immune system?
No, it helps them with their performance, with their stiffness, and yeah, their performance and things like that. So you've got Kevin Hart even has one, and one of the top doctors who's been doing research on this water for the last few years has just come out and said he's bought one and he fully supports our water machines, which is really exciting because it's taking off. It's even though it's been doing it for 50 years, in Japan, a lot of them have been doing like water demos and selling the products like that, which, yes, it's amazing to do that. But now with the online space, you can reach so many more people all around the world. We have 42 global companies around the world. It is going to be everywhere. And we definitely think it's going to be like the next household appliance in everyone's home. It's different uses of the water. So in the machine, we have different pH levels. So you've got your 2.5 pH level, which is great for cleaning, antibacterial. Then you've got your 7 pH, which is good for taking medication and babies. Then you've got your 8, your beauty water, which is 6, which is great for your skin. You can use it as a toner. It's great for your plants because it's the same pH level as rain, I believe. I think. And the 11.5 pH takes off all the pesticides and all the like nasties off of fruit and veg. So I love feeding my vegetables because you actually, when you see what comes off of them, it does not matter if it's
organic.
Organic, there's still pesticides. And it's just like a huge wake-up call of turning to a more non-toxic kind of household lifestyle and really just looking after your body.
So basically, I just want to redirect the conversation 1 second. You had your baby, you are getting in the groove of things. All of a sudden you're like, okay, I need to do something. I feel like I need to have more purpose, more a challenge in my life. You dip your toes in various things, but then all of a sudden you found a company that obviously you became part of the sales team. Is that correct? And then this company has allowed you to have basically the lifestyle, in a way, the freedom and the lifestyle that certainly Yachts brought into your life at a certain level. But then
100%.
Obviously inland, and probably even more freedom than what we ever get on boats, because on boats we get more freedom than the 8 to 5 in a way.
But we also don't.
But we also don't. And then this space obviously has allowed you to have that freedom and to become productive.
I feel sorry to butt in. Just I really want to just put out there. So yes, I am a distributor for this company in Nagic, but I'm a part of a community, and I didn't realize how important a community was until I found them. So we have weekly calls. I've met so many friends through them, and I did think working online would be lonely. It has been the complete opposite. I've been to a live event in London and I met so many people. I flew to Texas and Austin and met hundreds of people and all the people I look up to, and we had 6-7-figure earners talking to us. So I think also like coming from that mindset of as a yachty, you are used to a lot of money coming and going. I feel like I'll maybe, for me personally, my money mindset is probably a lot better than a lot of people that are in a 9-to-5 and that are maybe struggling. So I think for me, I thought it was, obviously it's a big investment, but as a yachty, I feel like we're used to that kind of money being thrown around all the time. I'm pretty sure I know a few people that I could have spent $5,000 in a night out with some dom here. Yeah, sorry. I can't remember where I was going with that.
I think that the important thing to do is like, the same way you invested into going to the career in yachts, now when you're out of yachts, you also have to invest in yourself for the next step. Mm-hmm. We have all the people that have done something else after yachting. We have all invested in whatever we're passionate about. Like, obviously, you're super passionate about what you're representing right now. Obviously, water is super important to you, and it should be important to all of us. And then the key point here is like what you say. We come from an industry that it is community-based. All of a sudden, when we leave, we're out of that community, and we have to find ourselves in a new community. And working online can be scary because you think, I'm alone in the computer. What am I going to do now? And actually, you are the living proof that it's could be potentially the opposite, where there's a big community online and people want more freedom. That's the truth. So that's why we are working online. And
you also get that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, we also get that sense of a team, which for me, I loved being a chief steward and having like my team. It was fun, and we made it humorous when we were all exhausted. So now, yes, just so it is fair, this, you can make so much money just selling these machines, right? As health sales, because so many people are getting more introduced to the water. But because there is such a great compensation plan attached to our water machines, so many people are wanting to do the business side of things. So that's exactly what I did. I wanted the water machine, but I equally wanted to be part of the business side of things because I saw the potential of what it can bring, and the money and the time freedom and the location freedom, being able to work from anywhere is so important, especially because your husband's on rotation. And like, we were just in Thailand for a month for our honeymoon, and it was great. And you're able to work from anywhere. So these are a lot of the things that I think you need to think of when you do leave yachting. Is, I think the money, not, I don't want to say it's the biggest thing, but it's the biggest like thing that does also change when you move to yacht, to land. And this was just the thing that just seemed to tick all the boxes. And I just thought, let's give it a bash. What's the worst that could happen? I've got a great water machine. If I don't succeed, at least I've got that. But it's fulfilling me. It just makes me feel good.
Yeah, and that's the key, right? Doing something that makes you feel good, so then it can expand that energy to it. So
yeah,
if you are leaving yachting for whatever reasons, whether you felt pregnant, and I don't even like saying felt pregnant. That just sounds so like wrong. If you have decided, if you have brought life into this world and you're leaving yachting because of that, or you simply are moving away from yachting because there's a next step for you, what I want to say is there's so much more than just a desk job. Stace is doing this. I'm doing my own thing. So many other women are doing so many things. And I think the most important thing is how you feel when you do that thing that you find. Because the same way you feel about it, you feel passionate, you're happy about it, you're excited. That's how I feel about the things that I'm doing. And other people are doing like catering and doing picnic stuff for people. And that's where they shine and they have their happy moment. And I think that's the key, that it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you feel really good about it. And it feels like it's an alignment. The money.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared to try it out.
The it's almost like what happens, like money obviously come. But with that being said, I do want to go through a step-by-step things that I think, and you can tell me if you have other things that you want to add to it. But you know, that out of this conversation, the things that I'm taking is, one, we need to start normalizing the conversation about women health and reproductive health on board. We need to educate ourselves about it, knowing your rights. Like I said, there's a lot of gray areas, but there's a lot of laws and regulations that are there for not all of us, but for some of us, and whoever has them need to use them. Becoming part of a union is super important. Like I said, Nautilus is one of them. ITF is another one. So I can put them down there below, sorry. And YPYA, I don't consider them a union, but they do help sometimes. So you can become a member. Asking in the contract, asking in the interview, what can be added or included in the contract? What are the procedures if any of this happens, whether it be pregnancy or abortion, or because you can fall pregnant. That's not even my word. You can become pregnant and then naturally have an abortion. It can happen.
Or a miscarriage.
Exactly. A miscarriage. That's the word. Yeah, a miscarriage. So what happens if that happens to you? How is that covered with your insurance and all that? So like asking the right question consciously where you're getting into. So if something does happen, exactly how to proceed. And then the whole thing, I think when we talk about this in the interview, then if something does happen, it's not scary to go to the captain and talk about it. It's not scary to go to management and talk about it, because we have already normalized the conversation. Having saving, obviously that's a massive one because you never know. Paying your taxes, super important, because if you do pay your taxes in your country, then you have certain rights for asking for unemployment and all this stuff. So a lot of people say, oh, tax haven, we're on yachts. Mm-hmm. The truth is that it is not tax haven. And you, as a good, responsible citizen, you should pay your taxes. And you have to think about a lot of other things that could potentially happen and why paying that could potentially support you as well. And having your own insurance, if the insurance that you are going to be exposed to is not supportive enough to all your needs. This is super important as well. So if something does happen, then you're like, the insurance won't cover me for that, but then I have my own thing that will cover me for it. And I'm talking about a safer insurance, not just your medical insurance at home, because that won't cover you in other countries. And you are in Europe, which is still cheap. If you're in America, oh boy.
Yeah.
Something that's maybe like 500 there is like thousands here. So you have to make sure that you're covered. Did I miss anything on that list that you think is important to pay attention?
No, I don't think so.
I know that you help other women as well get into what you're passionate about and the online space. How can they get in touch with you if they are interested in talking to you about, how to do what you do?
Sorry, my Instagram name's quite a mouthful.
We're going to put all the links, you know, the word.
Yeah, but it's at Stacey Lee Hawkins. I'm still trying to find my Instagram name. I'm not quite there yet. Not the Yacht Mermaid. Yeah, so it's just my name, Stacey.Lee.Hawkins on Instagram, or Stacey Hawkins on Facebook. And yeah, there's so much free training out there that can see, that can provide you with all the information to see if this is something you're interested in. It's not for everybody, but I feel like you've got that yachting kind of background of to-do lists, checklists, feeling fulfilled, and that passion and challenges and all that sort of thing. I think this could be for you potentially.
And that guest relation as well, because this all comes down to that, right? Like being able to communicate and all that.
Just high vibe and it. No, it's awesome. So thank you.
Thank you, Stace, for sharing with us, you know, your stories, your pains, your struggles, and also your success. And I know that you're just entering, because there's going to be a lot more success for you. But it's important to also celebrate, right, that we are living the fucking dream. What once was a dream, now it's actually a reality for you. Yeah. And we tend to always live in the future and forget that, hey, I actually pray for this fucking moment. Let me save it, right?
I can totally relate to that, because when I was on the boat, all I wanted was a home. You know, you get to that point, hey, when you're just like, I want a home, I want a home. And then I loved my English home, but then all I wanted was a garden. And now I've got a garden. And I'm like, all that stuff I've been manifesting comes to life. I don't think leaving yachting is the worst thing. It does take time to leave. And I think if I had left without falling pregnant, I probably would have gone straight back, because it is a lot to move to land, but it's also very exciting. And like, you're starting a whole new chapter, aren't you? So yeah, it's fun.
Life after boats, it's pretty damn amazing. Life on board is awesome, but I can tell you I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have my yacht life, but I'm so happy to have also this land life. So if you want to get in touch with Stace and learn more about the online space and what can you potentially do after yachts in this realm, get in touch with her and please educate yourself. Talk about these topics with your captains and crew and everybody in the industry, because yeah, it's important that we start normalizing and that we take self-responsibility about the changes that we do want to see. We cannot just wishful think about them and expect somebody to change them for us. We also have to be that change. All right. Until next, thank you, Stace.